Hello and welcome to a crazy episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
Really?
No, I'm not. But he is my favorite conservative.
Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate you being here today. I know you're suffering. You've got a pretty bad cold, but you're powering through it. So
I am. I've taken a lot of cold medicine and yeah, I'm here. We will not talk about what cold medicine does to my GI tract. That's not for this show.
That is much appreciated by everybody.
Yes. Thank you. So we had a different show planned for today, which we're going to still do. But first, we need to talk about the attempted assassination of former President Trump yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, we normally do a segment later in the show called This Week in WTF.
What does WTF stand for?
What the poopa, yes.
You won't say it.
I don't cuss a lot on air.
Okay, go ahead.
But I think our entire program this week is WTF.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So if you have been living in a cave this weekend and missed the news somehow, former president and presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump was shot at a campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania yesterday. And Butler is about 50 miles north of Pittsburgh, so a very rural area, big outdoor event. The shooter, who we will not name because we don't want to give this person any notoriety whatsoever. The shooter was a 20-year-old from a nearby town, and he was killed by Secret Service snipers.
Yeah, and I'm sure everybody's seen it, but just to recap, I mean, President Trump was hit in the ear.
Yes.
With one of the shots where he actually did go down on his knees and was immediately jumped on by Secret Service members, for
yes.
Sure. Yeah, unfortunately, three people in the crowd were hit as well. One attendee was shot in the head and died instantly. He was reportedly with five family members there. Another woman was hit in the hand and forearm, and another's reportedly in critical condition right now.
My heart just goes out to those families. Like, okay. I get emotional thinking about it. But, you know, what's very interesting is eyewitnesses pointed out the shooter to the police for at least 2 minutes before shots rang out. So the shooter, he was spotted outside what they called the perimeter on a rooftop with a rifle. And people told the police, there's a guy over there on a roof with a rifle.
Yeah, I thought that was it. The one fellow with the red hair.
Yes,
the ginger,
BBC.
The big ginger kid. But yeah, the BBC actually reported on first. They had him interviewed.
Yes.
Yeah, this young man said, we saw him minutes before, yelled at the police, walked back over toward where I was initially after telling the police. And then he's wondering, why is President Trump still speaking?
Yeah, why was he still on the stage?
Yeah,
he should have been taken off the stage immediately.
He said he went to go back to tell him again, and the shot started ringing out. And there were other witnesses that said they saw the police and Secret Service running around just a few moments before the shots rang out. So they knew something was going on.
Yes.
And for what reason, why they didn't go up and shield Trump at the time, the investigations are going to be deep on this one.
Yes, you can listen to Dan Bongino's show. He went live on Rumble yesterday in real time, and he is a former Secret Service member.
Agent,
yep. Thank you. And
on the Presidential Protection Detail.
Yes,
so yeah,
he knows
what he's talking about.
He has experience, and already tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening to this, Monday morning, there will be hearings about how the Secret Service handled it.
I did hear a correction on that. They're actually going to start the following Monday. So they're going to be gathering all the information this week.
Okay. Yeah. So something went awry there. Why don't you tell us about our current president's response?
Yeah. Biden, of course, was in Delaware because he gets to Delaware, Fridays through early Monday, usually.
Yeah.
And they actually called him back to Washington, and he gave a very short little statement. I thought it was quite weak. He said, you know, apparent attempted assassination or attempted attack. And they asked him, was this an assassination attempt? And he said, we'll have to see. We'll have to look into
it. Yes, it was.
Well,
yes,
everybody
it was.
In the world is looking at it like, yes, Trump was shot. You know, my gosh. It was just, it's... just so tragic, though, because this whole thing just seems so symptomatic of where we are as a country right now.
Yes, and there was something you said there I wanted to comment on, but my cough distracted me. So we're going to just dive a little deeper into this. First of all, we have to tone down the political rhetoric. You cannot call Trump Hitler for 8 years and then be shocked when something like this happens.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You've got a lot, especially impressionable young people. Now, this kid was only
20.
20 years
He's 20
old.
years old.
So, since he's been 12 years old, all he has heard from the media. Now, granted, I will say, they say he is a registered Republican when he first registered to vote, if you will. But he has given money to a group called Act Blue, which is a left-wing Democrat PAC. So, I'm going to lean that this kid's from the left. There's no question about that. So he has just heard for 8 straight years that Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler. And, of course, the mindset says, well, we can't let Hitler come to power and we should do everything we can to stop him.
Yes. So let's give some examples of what we mean by political rhetoric. So Biden said on July 8th,
Yeah, what are we talking? Less than a week ago.
yes, he said, "We're done talking about the debate. It's time to put Trump in the bullseye." Bad choice of words, sir. Bad choice of words. Give us another example,
It's
Edward.
a former Speaker of the House and still very influential member of
Absolutely.
Congress, Nancy Pelosi, said just 11 days ago that this is not a normal election. He, meaning Trump, must be stopped. He cannot be president.
And then Congressman Benny Hill, who's a Democrat from Mississippi and the former head of the January 6th committee, introduced the Disgraced Act. I swear, Congress loves acronyms, guys. Disgraced is all caps, and it stands for Denying Infinite Security and Government Resources Toward Convicted and Extremely Dishonorable Former Protectees Act. What the hell? Anyway, his bill would have removed Secret Service protection for Donald Trump. Can you imagine?
There is a thing, Trump derangement syndrome, that I think is a absolutely real psychological disorder that Trump just breaks people's brains. Normal
I know.
people that usually act rationally but are just so terrified of him for unjustified reasons because he's already been president for 4 years.
Yes. Well, give us the
Anyway,
last one too.
and when I saw this and I was thinking about political rhetoric, I was thinking about Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. There was an assassination attempt on him after Chuck Schumer, who is the Senate Majority Leader, the highest ranked member of the United States Senate, when he said, now this was March 4th, 2020,
Who said this again? Just
Chuck
okay.
Schumer, in front of, at an outside event in front of the Supreme Court building, he said, I want to tell you, Gorsuch, which is another justice,
Yeah.
I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. 3 months later, a gunman was arrested outside of Kavanaugh's house in the middle of the night with a full assortment of weapons and all kinds of items. He later admitted that his goal was to kill three Supreme Court justices.
So that's what we mean by political rhetoric.
This has to stop. You
Yes.
have to tone it down.
Now let's talk about how the left and the media are jointly guilty.
Okay.
They really
All right,
are.
wait. That's redundant.
Okay.
The
Anyway.
media is the
Okay. Not all
left.
media.
Just about,
Not all media. So Joy Reid, it has been saying many, many times, we must keep Hitler out of the White House. Again, it's got to stop. And then I know you have another example here.
So there's a guy named John McWhorter. He is a very prominent academic. He's an author and a New York Times columnist. And he wants everyone to know that he's sorry that he recently suggested it would be a good thing if someone were to assassinate former President Donald Trump. Quote, I have taken a great deal of heat for saying, for implying that I wish somebody would kill Donald Trump. That is exactly what I was implying. It was irresponsible of me to say that in a public space. I really shouldn't have said it here, But he acknowledges that it wasn't a one-off. Quote, I have said it often, he admits. A New York Times columnist.
We cannot, however you feel about Trump, and I've never voted for him, but however you feel about him, we cannot talk about assassinating former presidents, current presidents, presidential nominees. Like, that is not our country. That's not the U.S.
Well, wait, isn't that democracy? Isn't that the way it works? Because Trump's a threat to democracy.
No, we don't.
So democracy is you kill your opponents.
Okay,
right?
I know you're being facetious right now, okay. But some people may not realize that because
that's sarcasm, people.
Yes. Okay. So we cannot do that. And I'm going to take this one. The celebrities who say that Trump is an existential threat to our country. I mean,
now this is just a small sample. We could go on for 20 minutes.
Yes, but we're just going to give you examples. So Madonna has said, mind you, Madonna doesn't even live in the U.S. most of the time, but I have thought an awful lot of blowing up the White House. Okay.
Yeah, that's not good.
Kathy Griffin, now this was back in 2015, 2016, when she held up Trump's bloody decapitated head. Now, it was supposed to be a joke. You know, I still like Kathy Griffin, but it was extremely irresponsible. And then I'm going to say the best for last, honestly. And then the women on The View, again, constantly, just like Joy Reid, refer to Trump as Hitler. And then my favorite, just because he's the most outspoken, in my opinion, the most public, and he goes on shows acting as if he's some kind of political pundit, the great, fantastic actor, Robert De Niro. Respect, so much respect for your acting talent, not for your rants. He says things like, I like to punch him in the face. Well, come on, you're an actor. You're an Academy Award winning actor. Stay in your lane, dude. Stay in your lane. Actually, for all these people, stay in your lane.
Yeah, De Niro is officially tied to the Biden campaign now. He's
yes.
an official spokesperson.
Yeah, so. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. It's like, come on. So, you know, now we're going to move on. Okay, let's put the celebrities aside. To how this was initially reported by the media. So I'm going to give the source and Edward's going to give us the headline. So what was the CNN headline initially?
Initially, CNN said, Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after he falls at rally.
Really?
Fell at the rally. Yes. After clutching the side of his head, you know, and blood coming out.
Yes.
I mean, really, that's what they got from this.
And then what they do next.
Then I was watching CNN later on during the night, and I don't know who it was. It was a female CNN contributor, but they didn't have her on screen. They just had her voice. And she actually blamed Trump for some of this violent political rhetoric after being shot, because when he stood up and was defiant and said, fight, 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 I guess that's political violence.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
All right. Give us the Newsweek headline.
Yes. So Trump gets shot, right? Okay, yeah. Here we go. MAGA responds with outrage after Donald Trump injured at Pennsylvania rally. Injured?
Well,
I guess he was, technically.
It was an attempted assassination. You need to call it what it is.
Yes, but you're then placing the blame on MAGA that they're mad, right? That the MAGA people are mad. It's just,
All right, and now give us the Drudge Report headline.
Yeah, well, there were a few of them during the night. One of the first ones I read was, Trump fine, in parentheses, or in quotes, after an assassination attempt.
Well, at least they used the word assassination.
They did, yeah. But you know, my immediate thought was, if this were Biden and that just happened to him, it would have been Biden millimeters from death, right?
True,
it would have
right.
been this scare quote. But no, Trump's fine after the, now fine to me after an assassination attempt means like, maybe you tweaked an ankle as the Secret Service was rushing you off stage. It doesn't mean you were actually shot.
Yeah, his ear was clipped, guys. It was clipped. Well, the good news is, Edward.
It is?
That the FBI is taking over the investigation.
So that's good news.
Yes. Because we're going to get answers by 2030.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So The FBI in the last 8 years has just gone completely downhill. They've become an absolute partisan institution, dominated by left-wing politics. Just let's go back to a few incidents that were out there that
Okay.
they haven't quite solved yet.
Well, I'll take this one because when this was one of the first things that came to mind when we were talking about this was the Las Vegas shooting that happened
During the Jason Aldean concert.
at the Mirage. Yes, and they know who did it because I think the guy killed himself, but they don't know why. They still have no idea why this guy planned this massacre of people.
Oh, yeah, he killed, I forget how many,
Yes, I mean
dozens and
he had an
dozens.
arsenal in the hotel room. He was shooting out of the hotel room at the Mirage, and they still, or if they know why, they haven't released it. We should say that.
Well,
Okay.
let's look at another gem the FBI is working, still working on.
Yes.
This was the January 6th pipe bomb. So a pipe bomb on January 6th, which of course is the worst day in American history ever. Pipe bombs were placed in front of the RNC headquarters and the DNC headquarters in broad daylight. They were supposedly cleared by Secret Service, and yet there was still a bomb there. And somehow they've arrested what? 2,000 people that were in
But they
DC
don't
on
know
that.
who put the pipe
But yeah,
bombs
they can't
there.
find an actual bomber, right?
Okay. All
I
right.
mean, what are you want to go look at Russia collusion, right? This is the same FBI that did everything they could to keep the false, completely false Russia collusion story going with Donald Trump during the campaign in 2016 and during Trump's administration. So do I trust them? Absolutely not.
Well, and then there's Hunter Biden's laptop, because
Yes.
we don't know if it's Hunter Biden's laptop. We're not sure. Oh, wait, yes, it is.
Yeah.
And we all knew it was, by the way. We
Yeah.
all knew.
Yeah. They knew 10 months in advance. The FBI had verified
Which we have
that it
talked about
was
in a previous
his
show.
laptop. Yes.
Yes.
So do I trust the FBI? No. And let's finish up with the FBI's raid on Mar-a-Lago. Oh, Donald Trump's private residence, where they wanted him to give back some documents, so they raided a former president's house. I think that ought to tell you everything you need to know about the FBI, which is a branch of the Justice Department, which
So
is,
you're saying you don't have
I
confidence.
have zero confidence in this investigation.
Okay. Well, I just want to be before we tie a little bow on this, I just want to say that our hearts and our prayers go out to President Trump, but perhaps more importantly to those families, to the family who your loved one died right there on the spot. We are so sorry. To the two other people we know of that were critically injured, we hope you recover. And that shouldn't happen. That
No.
should not happen in America. And I hope, and then I know you'll finish it up here with this segment, Edward, but I hope that President Trump going forward will only do rallies indoors. I don't think he's going to listen, but I hope he will only do rallies indoors because you have a little bit more control inside than you do outside.
And obviously there's going to be a huge investigation, especially into the Secret Service. But to me,
Yes, you have a.
the absolute cap of this thing, what is it, tomorrow,
Monday. Yes,
Monday,
we're
sorry,
live on
Monday,
Sunday. So Monday
right?
when the podcast drops.
The
Yep.
Republican National Convention starts in Milwaukee, Wisconsin,
Yes, it does.
and it's going to wrap up on Thursday with the nomination of Donald John Trump as the Republican nominee. Trump, in my mind, should make this his first public appearance since he got shot, and at that point announce your vice presidency, vice
Yeah.
president. But the numbers would be through the roof waiting to hear and seeing him with, a bandage on his ear, whatever, and hearing him.
Yeah, I think
It
you're
would be
right.
ratings gold.
Yes, I think yes.
And Trump and ratings, it's all about, right?
Yeah, so we had to cover that. It was breaking news less than 24 hours ago. We're going to go back to our normal format where we talk about the polls. Now, keep in mind these polls Do not take into account what just happened yesterday. Do not take into account the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. So in the polls last week, the Real Clear Politics national average, Trump versus Biden, Trump last week was up 3.3. He is still up, but it's 2.9. So he has dropped slightly.
He has, but somehow I have a feeling that number is going to go up.
The
sympathy vote.
Yes,
right?
That number is going to change next week, but go ahead.
Yeah, and then we do a This Day in History. So let's look back on this day, July 14th, in both 2016 and 2020, and see how the race matched up. So in 2016, Hillary was 3.1 up. She was up 3.1. Biden was up in 2020, 8.8. So you think about it now, say Biden's up 8, rounded off, or 9, Trump's now up 3. You're looking at a 12-point differential from that.
Yes.
That's a big difference for sure.
All right, let's get into the battleground states. We always talk about Pennsylvania, but Pennsylvania has never been more important than it is right now.
Yeah.
So last week, Trump was up 4.5. He has increased that. He's up now 5.3.
Yeah. And this happening in Pennsylvania, I think it wouldn't surprise me to see it at least be 6 the next poll that's taken.
Yes. North Carolina is a wash. Trump was up 5.8. He's still up 5.8. Why don't you give us some next?
Let's go down south to Georgia.
All right.
Last week, Trump was up 3.7. This week, he's up 4.0. A little bit of an increase there.
A little bump.
And in the Midwest, in Michigan, Trump last week was up 1.5. This week, he's up 0.6. So he dropped, dropped a bit there. But in Wisconsin, where last week, Trump was up 0.6. He's now up 2.6. So that was a big move in Wisconsin. For what reason, I have no idea.
Yes. And we are going to do a little, we're going to try something in just a minute, a little share screen on predictit.org, which is a gambling website. But on that website, they have Trump easily winning Wisconsin. It's very, very interesting. Out west, Nevada, last week, Trump was up 4.6. He's increased that now to 5.2. I do think he's going to turn Nevada back to red.
I hope so.
I think he will.
His best move out there is no tax on tips. So how many people in Las Vegas make their living off of tips?
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's huge. So anyway, let's finish it off in Arizona. Last week, Trump was up 5.4 and he remains at 5.4, well outside the margin of error.
Yes. So what's really interesting is that Biden and Trump were neck and neck. I don't know if it's neck and neck or neck to neck, but neck and neck with the gamblers on predictit.org until the debate on June 27th. So trying something new here, going to share a screen. I just want to show you guys, if you're listening to the podcast, go to YouTube or go to, go to YouTube, go to Rumble. But anyway, so I'm just going to talk you through. So you can go to predictit.org. And this is a 30-day overview that I'm showing our screen right now that shows you that, you know, Trump and Biden, Trump is the blue, Biden is the purple, Harris is the red. And you can see Trump and Biden were kind of, you know, even again, and these are gamblers.
So these are people putting their money where their mouth is.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
What's really interesting is that after that debate, there was a plummet in the purple. You can see right here, I'm pointing on the screen, a plummet. Biden, and he keeps just going down, and Trump is either steady or going up. And again, this is the last 30 days. But I mean, look at the difference. At one point, Harris overtook Biden. I mean, not even close to where Trump is, but overtook Biden in the prediction that she would be winning. This is winning the 2024 presidential election. So it's pretty fascinating.
Biden's in free fall after that debate.
Yes.
And Harris rose a little bit, but then kind of fell off again when people realize, oh, she's Kamala Harris.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you want to see what the gamblers are doing, highly recommend it. And hopefully that screen share worked, and we're going to stop sharing right now. Looks like it did. Awesome. All right, Edward, we did have a show that had nothing to do with the attempted assassination of President Trump. We're going to talk about, it was called a big boy press conference.
Yeah, some member of the media dubbed it that, and the White House grabbed it and said, that's Joe Biden's going to have a big boy press conference.
Which, why would you do that? Like, why would you say that? It just makes it sound so juvenile.
When people are worried that your candidate is losing his mental faculties, and you're saying, oh, you're a good big boy.
All right, so let's do a recap of it. So this this was a presser after the NATO meeting in Washington.
Yeah, not usually a well-attended event. Like,
no.
You talk about here's what we're doing with NATO, blah, 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 blah. But again, this was after the debate. This was after Biden's interview with George Stephanopoulos, which didn't go well.
Which we covered last week.
Yes. 24 million people tuned in to watch a press conference about NATO.
Yeah, which never happens. Never happens. So he introduced Zelensky as Putin earlier that day.
Yes, he said, I think the quote was, now I'd like to introduce the president of Ukraine, Mr. Putin, President Putin. And everybody's, and the looks on the cabinet's face, they were sitting in the front row.
Oh,
they were like
see,
grabbing their faces.
You can see their chins just drop.
Yeah.
Like, oh no.
So yeah, he tried to weasel his way back out of that one.
But there's a better one.
Yes.
So let me do it, please. He called Trump his VP.
Yes,
Vice President Trump. He said it twice.
Well, yeah, when I brought on Trump to be my VP, she would do a great job. And God almighty.
Okay, we did watch this live as well. So let's talk about the voice thing.
And you know, he did the very creepy whisper thing. This, watch me. Yeah.
Yeah. But then he would raise his voice out of the blue.
Yeah, all of a sudden he decided he was going to be outraged. And this was, you know, about gun violence, because we know guns are violent. They just jump up by themselves off the table and start shooting people. But he then lied and, of course, said guns are the biggest killer of kids, which they are not. Auto accidents are. And the only way, by the way, that they get to that number is you're still considered a child if you're up to 19 years old now.
Oh, okay.
So, if you take that out of there, no.
Okay, so I think the question on everyone's mind is, especially if you did not bother to watch this, we don't blame you. Did it help him or hurt him?
We haven't discussed
this, by the way, guys.
If anything, I think it hurt him a little bit more. I watched like MSNBC afterward and listened to him the next morning, and they were just raving about his amazing ability to put the world stage in focus and explain in detail to people. And I'm like, what press conference were they watching? But yeah, they thought it was great.
So they were just being sycophants.
Yeah. CNN, I will give them credit. They are actually doing a little bit of journalism now. I think they got the word that we need to get rid of Joe Biden, so they're coming down a little bit harder on him. But to me, it was a net loss for him, and I think you saw it in the polls. What about you?
I think it was a wash. It didn't help him. It certainly did not help him. I mean, you can't call Zelensky Putin, and you can't call
your vice president
Trump is your VP. You can't do that. But I don't actually think it hurt him very much. What I would like to do is go back to predictit.org. They should hire me, by the way, as a sponsor, or they should sponsor our show. Just putting it out there. I would love to go back and look at that specific day and see if there was a change in how the gamblers were gambling. But I don't think it really hurt him, because most people didn't watch it.
Well, there were 24 million people watched it. So, I mean, that's what's huge. And the problem for me, or the problem for Joe Biden, is that every single movement that he does now is going to be.
It is on social media. That's true. It's everywhere.
And it's just going to be examined, you know, to the nth degree by everybody. And especially if you're on the fence. You know, I think the big question for a lot of people after this and after the press, after the debate and everything else, is, do you really think Joe Biden can go 4 years?
Yeah.
With you're watching the mental decline happen so rapidly. So I wanted to mention, by the way,
yes.
You, Andrea, is going to be out of town next week in Hawaii.
For work.
Yes. However, yes, that's a nice place to work for a little bit. So we will have a pre-recorded show for you.
Yes.
I thought right now, since we're gonna be out, let's play a little veep stakes.
Veep stakes?
Yeah, because we don't know who Trump's going to pick.
Right.
And by the time we get back,
he will
live in 2 weeks, we're already gonna have it.
Okay.
So why don't we go over a few people?
Okay. All right. So first up, J.D. Vance, Senator from Ohio. Does Trump need Ohio?
Trump does not need Ohio. I think that J.D. Vance can help in the Rust Belt. You know, he's from Ohio, which is right close to Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan.
Yeah, okay.
And his book, Hillbilly Elegy,
which I love,
you know, shows how he was brought up basically a hillbilly, if you will. He understands this environment, and I think that could definitely help him.
And he is winning with the gamblers on predictic.org.
There you go, with another commercial.
I know, right? He is. Well, what's really interesting is, like, just a week and a half ago, he was not. So, but he is now by far in the number one spot. I would be very happy with J.D. Vance. I have a lot of respect for him.
You're an author, and he's an author. So
I love his book. I unfortunately relate to his issues with his mother. We have very not exactly similar childhoods, but definitely our mothers had the same issues. I have a lot of respect for J.D. Vance. Mm-hmm. All right, who's up next?
Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota.
He doesn't need North Dakota.
He does not need North Dakota,
but
Donald Trump likes rich dudes.
He does like rich dudes.
He loves rich dudes. I think Burgum's worth a little over $1 billion.
I don't think it's going to be Burgum. I really don't.
He's a little bit older. I think he's about 68, maybe something like that. To me, he almost falls into the wild card. He should anyway, because he doesn't really have a track record, if you will, of doing anything on the national stage.
But his name has come up a lot.
And he was in the Republican primaries.
Yeah. And he is number two on Predictic. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just going to say on the gambling website.
There you go.
Next up, we have Marco Rubio, who is number three on the gambling website. I don't get this choice at all.
Of these top three, and it's been mentioned, these three are the top three people.
Yeah,
Marco Rubio is my least favorite. Now, I am a native Floridian, spent many, many years in Florida, and I watched Marco Rubio grow up in Florida politics. He was actually the Speaker of the House in the state of Florida before.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, before he launched his bid for senator and everything else. Trump doesn't need Florida.
He does not.
He doesn't need help with Florida.
No, he doesn't need help.
It's pretty much in the bag. Would it help with Hispanics? Yeah.
I don't think so.
It will.
I don't think he needs Marco Rubio to get the Hispanic vote.
Well, the thing is the Hispanics are trending tremendously toward Donald Trump.
Already.
Biden won it by a huge margin last time, and now it's like single digits. And the only problem, though, he's got the residency thing, because he is a senator from Florida. He can't move out of the state without giving up his residency and being a state senator. Now, Trump can obviously change his.
Well, let's just remind people, you can't have a vice presidential and a presidential candidate from the same state.
You can, but you give up half the delegates. You give up half the electoral votes in that.
So don't do that.
So don't do it.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. Let's put it that way.
Next up, and I think this is not going to happen, but I know you like him, Glenn Youngkin, governor of Virginia.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily a huge fan. I'm very wary of him, whether he could carry the MAGA mantle forward.
Okay.
He did win in Virginia. He beat a Democrat governor. You can only serve one term in Virginia. So that's one consecutive term. You can run again in four more years. Again, for the governorship. But again, he's another rich dude, right? But if that could help turn Virginia.
Yeah.
So if Trump were to win Virginia, he wouldn't have to win Pennsylvania, Michigan, or Wisconsin.
Okay.
It would be over. He could even lose Nevada and it would still be over. So that's very enticing. I mean, Youngkin's a somewhat very popular governor there. So that's almost one of these, boy.
Okay.
You know, could I make it go for it?
All right. Tim Scott, who has been kissing Donald Trump's ass ever since he dropped out. He doesn't need South Carolina. Tim Scott, senator from South Carolina, could help with the black vote.
Yeah, Trump's going to win South Carolina regardless, but yeah, going for the African American black vote.
I think that's where Trump needs more help than with Hispanics. I do.
Yeah, but the problem is the media portrays Tim Scott as an Uncle Tom, like they do all black
Which
conservatives,
is
and they are going to
horrible.
pound him on this. I do not want Tim Scott to be the vice president. I just don't think I've never all I've ever heard about Tim Scott is he's got a great story. Yeah, and he does. He was raised in this incredible poverty and everything else and stuff, but got to give me more.
Okay.
So.
All right, so we do have some wild cards here, and I'm going to save the best for last. So I want you to give us these next three wild
Yeah.
cards, and then I'm going to do my fave.
Okay. Wild card. My first wild card is Lee Zeldin. Lee Zeldin is a former congressman from New York, and
Okay, he's not going to win New York.
he actually ran against Kathy Hochul for the governorship
Oh,
this
that's right. You
past
did do
time,
that's right. You
and
did
he
do
did very, very
That's
well in
right.
a really blue state,
That's
and
true.
that's something that always impresses Trump. If you can pull numbers. And trust me, Trump's going to make a play for New York. If things continue in his direction, he's going to go for New York and New Jersey. So it's not completely out of left field, but it's a stretch.
Okay.
My next one, I've got three of them, is Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the current
Current.
governor of Arkansas and former Trump spokesperson. So she was a fantastic spokesperson.
Yes,
She
press
really was.
secretary.
Press secretary, excuse me. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And now obviously Trump doesn't need Arkansas. Arkansas is going to go red. Sorry, Dad. It's true. But I think she would be a good beep, actually. I think she'd be, I don't think she's going to be the choice, but I think she would be good.
I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah.
She is conservative through and through.
Yes.
I would like that. And my last wild card pick
Really
is
wild.
Richard Grenell. He was initially in Trump's administration as the ambassador to Germany. He's from California, and he was then promoted to the acting head of the DNI, which is the Director of National Intelligence. So he was put at the top job. He did an amazing job for the time that he was in office, exposing a lot of the crap that was going on. And he absolutely jumped in Trump's eyes when he did that. And wait, he's gay. So, that's one of these.
Trump
Oh my
doesn't
goodness.
care about that.
No, but the box checkers do.
Yes.
And so that's, he's got, I don't want to say that's an ace in the hole, but yes.
All right. And here
Bad pun.
is my favorite wild card. And she is in fourth place right now on the gambling website. Fourth place behind JD Vance, Doug Burgum, and Marco Rubio, former Congresswoman of Hawaii, Tulsi Gabbard, who left the Democratic Party. I would love for her to be the choice because I think she would bring in independence. I think she would bring in women. You can say in a moment why you don't like her.
Thank you.
I love her. I don't agree with all her policies, by the way. I really don't. Like, if she still thinks that we should give college tuition to every, American, I don't agree with that, for example. I don't think every person's supposed to or needs to go to college, but I love Tulsi Gabbard. She's a serious person. She has served our country with honor. And I'm going to state it right here, live. It's going to live in perpetuity on the internet. If she's the veep, I will run the whole block that I have to run to our voting location, our voting poll area. And I will vote for a Trump Gabbard ticket in a heartbeat. I would do it.
May I?
Yes.
So
You're gonna tear my Tulsi apart. You're gonna tear
let's look at a few things here with Tulsi.
my
Very attractive woman, okay, which it never hurts, right? And Trump likes attractive people.
He does.
That's very true. Yes, he's very superficial in that
Very
regard.
respectful to him too.
Yeah, she has been.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, Tulsi is a former Bernie Sanders volunteer,
Yes.
FYI. So you've got that. Where did that come from, right?
Yes.
So Trump's main goal for picking a veep, besides getting votes right now, is to carry on
Yes.
the MAGA man to carry the
After
MAGA
him.
mantle after him.
Yeah.
Tulsi Gabbard is not that person to do that. She's not. And to give it up just for a few votes and get the woman card and everything else, she is an active member in the Hawaii National Guard. I believe she's a captain. Is that right? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Or the Army, whatever
the
she
Army.
Is.
She's Army. In the Army.
Yeah. I think she would be amazing in some sort of foreign military
That's
affairs.
True.
We were talking about her at the VA or something like that, right? I don't think it's going to help with the base of the party going forward after Trump, because there's no way that Tulsi is going to do a complete 180 on the core MAGA program, if you will.
Okay. All right. You have another interesting point here as you wrap
well,
up.
Well, yeah, you know, this is kind of interesting. You know, when we're talking about Biden being placed on the ticket, whether voluntarily or involuntarily, it reminded me of Trump's trial in New York, where he was convicted of 34 felonies.
Right.
Right.
I remember.
And so if you recall, and very quickly, you know, it was about paying hush money and the way that they marked it on the books. And that's how they got 34 felonies. But you had to tie these. They were actually misdemeanors. There were 33 of them. They were misdemeanors. But if they could find a felony that he committed, they could make all of those felony charges. They could convert them into felony charges.
But wasn't there something about how he didn't even know what they all were?
Well, that's that's where we're going. So anyway, so they go through this entire trial. The prosecution, the entire trial, doesn't tell him what that main felony charge is, so that they could upgrade these charges, until closing arguments, after the defense has already given their closing argument. So Trump didn't know what he was necessarily fighting on the main charge, which right now he doesn't really know who he's going to be facing in the election. Could you be up front a little bit with Donald Trump? Tell him what the charge is. Tell him who he's running against. Right.
Okay.
I mean, seriously,
that's a good analogy.
Thank you very much.
OK, so here's what we're going to do. And this is not planned, not in the script.
Oh, boy.
On the count of three, I want us to say the last name of the person that we think is going to be the Veep pick, because as you told everybody already, we won't be live next week.
Okay.
It will already be announced. We won't even be, it'll probably be announced on Thursday and I'll be flying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay. On three. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Hold on. I got to look at the names.
Got to look at the list.
I got to look at this. Okay. All right. I know. Okay. Ready? One, two, three. Vance.
Burgum. I want J.D. Vance, but I think he's going to pick Doug Burgum.
All right. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Vance, J.D. Vance.
I really hope so. J.D. Vance can carry that MAGA mantle forward better than anybody that's in that crowd, except if Ron DeSantis were to be somehow in the mix.
That brings me to a very interesting point. This time, 4 years ago, or whenever it was, I don't know. I've lost track of time. 8 years ago, whatever. Going into the convention, Pence wasn't even on the radar.
No.
He wasn't. So you make a good point about DeSantis.
Yeah, it could come out of
left field. Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is, he doesn't need Florida. But DeSantis, to me, would by far carry that MAGA mantle way better than anybody else in the field. Either if he picks Burgum or J.D. Vance, I think in 4 years' time, in 2028, it's going to be a wide open primary in the Republican Party, because there's so many
people
that are out there.
It really
is
a good
So just because you're vice president, that you're not going to get the immediate handoff.
As Gore found out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Biden found out when Obama endorsed Hillary, not his own vice president.
Okay. All right. So thank you so much for joining us today. Please follow us on all social media. We are live most Sundays, but not next Sunday. But when we're live on Sundays, it's always at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we stream live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you're listening to the podcast, which always drops on Monday, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening right now. And you can support our show by joining our Locals community. Now, if you go on the app, you're not going to see this option. So to become a member is actually absolutely free. Okay. You go to myfavoriteconservative.locals.com. We will put this in the show notes.
What was that?
My favorite conservative. Mm-hmm. That's you.
Okay. Thank you.
.locals.com.
Okay. Thank you.
And you can join Locals for free. And you can join, I think, any community on Locals for free if you want to support our community, which allows more engagement. We do have a special going on right now. So our goal is to have 100 members by my birthday, which is August 15th. So a month from today, if you're listening to the podcast. And so for the first 25 people who become a supporter, we're giving away a free 1 month trial with the promo code FREEDOM. So if you decide to support the show, that's in addition to being a member, just use the promo code FREEDOM.
All right.
All right. So please be sure to follow us on the socials and go to myfavoriteconservative.show. That's myfavoriteconservative.show. And our prayers are with President Trump and all those injured and hurt. And
And let's hope our next live show doesn't get any crazier than it's gotten here these last few weeks, because we can't keep going this direction.
that's right. All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.